More or Lex is an ongoing conversation about life, love, creativity, and sense of self, in which Lex and Disco document their own epic misunderstandings of the human condition and stick their tongues out each other when the other one's trying to talk.
That's why I had all those watermelons in my bathtub. Don't judge me.
I've heard of milk bath, but watermelon bath?
Or
was it just a watermelon feast and you needed a place to keep them?
I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's a very ugly and very bad story, and I just don't want to relive that moment.
Did you have them on ice?
So welcome to More or Lex. I'm your titular host, Lex.
And I am henchman number one, Disco.
And today we have a single topic. We have a very, very focused podcast today.
You think we're gonna be able to do that and not ramble?
Yes, because our topic for today is, who is Disco?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, nobody warned me of this.
No, there is no warning.
Okay.
Nobody expects the Spanish. Yeah.
Nah. Everybody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
No. So, today I'd like to get to know you and
your life.
I'm going to interview you a little bit for maybe the people at home who don't know what disco is. Not exactly.
So, disco is bad music from the 70s.
Let's get that out of the way. Yes. Why disco?
That's probably the number one question I get asked about that. Mm-hmm. And there is no good answer, really. It's just, it's not like it was a... Really, it was the complete honest... Straight up answer is that way back in the early days of the internet, before websites, before any of that stuff, it was basically email and MUDs. There was a site in Ann Arbor called MNET.
Yes.
And it was an internet connected, basically it was kind of like an internet connected bulletin board.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dial into, they had a bank of phones and you could dial into them and that, but then, they had internet email and you could use Gopher, which was pre-web and all that. But you'd logged in and it was public access and you'd pick your username. And I had a cyberpunk based username for a while.
Do you remember what it was?
One of the username conventions is first letter, last name, right?
Right.
So. Mine was C0 for Count Zero from one of the William Gibson novels.
Mm, nice.
Right. But there were a lot of people doing that. And then I was sitting around drinking one night and getting online and, doing the online message
Saturday
board
night.
Stuff. Yeah,
yes,
kind of thing.
Nerd.
Yeah. And I wanted to change the name. And so we're sitting around, dicking around one night and I had my record collection out, and for whatever reason, I put on the Casey and the Sunshine Band album. I have one disco album.
Mm-hmm. And Some people would say Casey and the Sunshine Band are not disco.
They're disco.
Yeah. Okay.
They are.
They're very poppy disco, if that.
Yeah, but it's disco.
Okay.
Kiss did a disco song.
All right, go ahead. So you put on this album.
So I put on this album, and we were drinking beers and all that, and I wanted to... And for whatever reason, it's just like, I'll log in, I'll be disco. And and it was kind of a throwaway thing. Like, I'll do this, see what happens. Nobody will, and then I'll pick a real one tomorrow and, and be, let everybody know and all that. And I got on with talking to people online and all that. And they all thought that was hilarious. And they just started calling me that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get away. It just stuck. I couldn't stop being disco.
So when you met up in person, nobody called you anything else but disco.
Right.
And how old were you at that point?
22, early 20s.
Right. And you're not married yet.
No, I was married then. Because I got married at 12.
Right. Okay.
Well,
yeah. Right.
21. Barely.
You were newlywed at that
right,
point.
Right, yeah,
in
very
time.
Newlywed.
When you became disco.
Yeah.
This was the emerging adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually, I kind of, because there are a lot of Marks.
Yes.
And that is my real name, mm-hmm. Mark. Like a dog with a hair lip.
Mark.
Yeah.
Yes.
But there aren't a lot of discos. So, right. You know, if you're out somewhere and somebody calls Mark, sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. But if somebody says disco, I know they're talking about me.
And I've used that in public before. When yeah. in big crowds, I will turn to get your attention, almost say Mark, and yeah. then change to disco.
Yeah.
People look just to see who is called disco.
Yeah.
But you always turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I always respond to.
There's no denying it. Yeah. yeah. So let's go back.
Okay.
Back in time. Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
I was born in Sturgis, Michigan, mm-hmm. in the Sturgis Hospital.
Everybody knows that from the motorcycle event.
Right. Nope. That's Sturgis, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Spelled the same?
Yeah. Spelled exactly okay. the
so
same.
So nobody knows Sturgis, Michigan.
Well, no. Not unless you live there. It's the biggest town in St. Joseph County.
Mm-hmm. So did you have brothers and sisters?
Not when I was born.
No, you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest, and I have a younger brother who is 14 months younger than I am, mm-hmm. and then a sister who is 5 years younger than I am.
Okay. What yeah. did your parents do?
My dad did a bunch of different. When I was born, when I was young, when I was born, he was a truck driver. Mm-hmm. He was driving for...
Long distance?
No, short haul. Mm-hmm. He was driving for Sturgis Iron and Metal. Mm-hmm. It's the big scrap yard, and so he was hauling chunks of steel and stuff around.
Cool. Now, your dad's not a very big man,
my
but he's
is,
very stocky, right?
My dad is 5'4".
Yeah.
And
but just solid, right?
Yeah, when he has his shirt off, he looks like, at least when I was a kid, not so much anymore because he's, you know, like 75, but he's still solid.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, you know, he'd take his shirt off. He looked like a bodybuilder, and he'd never lifted weights in right. his life.
Now, your grandpa was like... Grandpa. Now I'm saying it like that because I'm thinking of him, like how mm-hmm. he, thinking of him back then.
Yeah.
Was he Amish?
Yes.
And like.
Both of them were. All of my grandparents, you know, my family, I like to say, has been Amish as long as there have been Amish.
Right. And some of them, some of the branches, or some of the tree doesn't branch.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, yeah. My family tree doesn't have a lot of branches.
Right.
But that's. One of the things with the Amish is, you know, they only marry other Amish people. And when they first came to this country, especially, there weren't mm-hmm. a whole lot of them. And so there was a lot of, right. you know, first cousin kind of thing. And so, you know, one of the fun things about that is that over the course of the time that they've been in this country, the Amish have become their own ethnic group because right. they have bred themselves into ethnicity.
Yeah, but you never see that box on the forms that you fill out.
No.
No. Do you ever write it in?
I have occasionally just to mess with people.
So how old were your parents when you were born?
My mother was, 21. My mother was 21. My dad was 23.
Mm-hmm. So your mom was 19 when they got married.
Yeah.
So they'd waited a couple of years. It wasn't like they were pressed into getting married because you were on your way.
Right. Oh, no. That was some of my cousins.
So, that is an interesting question. How many cousins do you have?
Oh, I'd have to sit and count them again, but somewhere around 40.
Yeah, and a couple were adopted, rounded out that 40 number last time we counted together.
Well, depending on how you want to count it. Yeah, I mean, if you go into, like, second cousins and that, it's, you know, it's an insanely huge number, and some right. of those were adopted. But right. no, my first cousins are all... First cousins, none of them are adopted.
Your particular sway with the Amish thing, you're still a Mennonite.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
So what does that mean?
It's like set theory.
Set theory.
That's how I explain it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's a Venn diagram?
It's not really a Venn diagram. It's all Amish are Mennonites,
right.
but not all Mennonites are Amish.
Okay.
So if you have the large circle of Mennonites,
right.
there's a little circle inside that that's the Amish.
What are your particular beliefs, and why do you stay with the church?
Well, the Mennonites came out of Anabaptism.
No, you.
Me? Well, I'm trying to, like, it relates to that because
right.
it's, so the basis for the Anabaptist movement and all that was, there's pacifism and adult baptism. But for me, it's mostly the kind of the key points of the Mennonites are... kind of social activism and pacifism. Those are, you know, kind of Mennonites, you know, strongly believe in equality and helping people and in pacifism. You know, mm-hmm. that whole thou shalt not kill thing, they take
right.
it, you know. For me, that's the, like, I like the social activism. I like mm-hmm. the, I like all that. And I like, you know, and I was raised with the whole, you know, Amish Mennonite pacifism thing. So that's just, you know, kind of who I am.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you still participate in some social activist movements, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's not like active member of a group or something, but,
before you left Michigan, what were you doing?
I was on the board of directors for a group called, Rainbow Families Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm. What was their target? Their goal?
We actually, while I was on the board, we actually got nonprofit status. But it's a gay family organization. So it's, the mission is, you know, like education, about gay family, issues and rights and that. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is every summer we put on a week-long vacation event. Because I lived in a resort town, mm-hmm. and people would come there anyway.
And which town is that?
Saugatuck, Michigan.
Okay.
And Saugatuck is, like, separated from a town called Douglas, Michigan, by a bridge. So they're basically the same town, Saugatuck mm-hmm. and Douglas. Douglas is the home of the Dunes Resort, which is the largest gay resort in the Midwest.
Cool.
We've got Lake Michigan. I don't live there anymore, but there's Lake Michigan. I mean, it's a really cool place. And it has a pretty large gay community mm-hmm. and the big resort and all that. And so there was a Rainbow Families family organization because, you know, contrary to what some people think of stereotypes and all that, you know, they're married, they have kids, they, you know, it's just like any other family.
Right.
You know? So we put on this week-long vacation event where families from all over the country, mostly from the Midwest, but from mm-hmm. all over the country would come in and have a family vacation, you know, and some of these, you know, it was the one chance a year that some of these kids had to be in a large group where all the other families were like theirs.
Right.
And to meet other kids who had two dads or two moms. And, you know, it was like, it was amazing for them to,
yeah,
you know,
that sounds like
so we're talking, you know,
deal.
People who live in little tiny towns in the Midwest and all that, and, you know, and their moms are the only two moms in their little school right. and all that. And, you know, and to come and to be able to be in this huge group of kids who all have that and who, you know,
God, that sounds like such a beautiful thing. For a kid.
It was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it was a big deal. It was like, it's a huge event.
Yeah.
How many attendees would you get?
We'd have,
upward of 1,000?
I think with like everybody, yeah, because we'd have, you know, 200-300 families, I think, something like
yeah.
that. You know, then kids and all yeah. that. So it was a pretty big event. For a tiny little town, it was a pretty big event.
Right. Every hotel for miles.
Yeah, all of the hotels, all the bed and breakfasts, yeah. all the, you know, and then some people would camp, some people, mm-hmm. you know, but.
That sounds like an awesome thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. And we'd have, you know, family events during the day. And then, you know, there'd be kids movie nights. Mm-hmm. And they would do like a kids movie night and then a parents night out the same night. So the parents mm-hmm. could, you know, like have their own night out. And,
right.
you know, and there
so
were
by
events,
that time, did
there were
you
events
have...
for kids and events yeah. for parents and events for families. And
did you have kids by that time?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. would they come out and you have your own family thing
oh, yeah.
at the event?
Yeah.
So your kids yeah. had a lot of like exposure to different cultural.
Oh yeah.
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 That most kids don't get to see that, like, you know, gay families and you
yeah.
get to experience that.
Yeah. So, for my, yeah, that's one of the things I'm kind of proud of is that, you know, my kids grew up with that and grew up, you know, going to Rainbow Families as, you know, we were, you know, and it was fun because they didn't, you know, like nobody there was like, what are you doing at our event? You know,
right.
It's like,
but like, you are a minority there in that.
Oh yeah. In that group, I was a minority, but nobody was like, you know, you shouldn't be here. You know, it was great. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Very accepting.
And my kids yeah. grew up with that and just, you know, to them, it was just another family.
Tell me about getting married.
What about it?
You know, how old were you when you got married?
And I was 21.
And you met your soon-to-be wife at, not at college, but at a gig you were working.
No, I met her in college.
You did? She went to the same school?
She went to the same school, yeah.
Which was?
Grand Valley State University in Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly young school. It was founded in 1960.
A public institution.
Public institution. Mm-hmm. It started out as a really hippie school.
So did you just choose that college because it was in town? That was
no,
close,
no.
Why'd you go there?
I went there because of their photography program.
So that's what you were studying. You were getting a degree in
photography. Yeah, ever since I was a little kid, that's all I wanted to do.
Which is weird because the Amish don't like to be photographed.
Right, but my family wasn't Amish, and my mom had cameras. And, you know, as soon as I was old enough to figure out what that thing was, I wanted one.
Right.
You know, and we would be out somewhere, and I would, you know, beg her to give me her camera so I could go take pictures as a little kid. And then, you know, got a real camera as a teenager and just, you know, went from there. And I was looking at the, you know, like School of Visual Arts in New York and Center for Creative Studies and, you know, applied at U of M for their photo program. Mm-hmm. But, and it was kind of, at the time, I felt like maybe it was a little bit of a cop-out because, you know, I had family, you know, my cousin had gone up to Grand Valley right before me and that, but then I was looking into it and their program is really good.
Right.
So I'm not sad about that, but it did feel a little bit like a cop, like, oh, you know, I'm just a small town kid and I can't go to New York. Although actually I really kind of would have loved to go to New York, but
yeah,
but it worked out and I got it was a really good program and I made a lot of friends and that.
And that's where you like, you pledged.
Right. Yeah. I pledged the fraternity there. Right. We skipped over this part, but I had not gone to a public high school.
Right.
I went to a small private Christian school with alternative curriculum and, you know, but I'm not bitter.
Have you ever looked into the place. Montessori
schools?
Is it similar?
No.
You attended?
Okay. No, it's different. I think in a box somewhere, I still have some of the curriculum stuff.
Was it like Little House on the Prairie kind of school?
No, it was all, it was this, well, first it was alternative Christian education.
Oh.
And so, you know,
were there no textbooks?
Not terribly strong on the science.
Oh, okay.
But there were no textbooks. It was all self-directed, not self-directed, but like self-paced. Mm-hmm. So the curriculum was all in these like workbook things.
Right.
So you would get, and you were expected to, you know, to do so many of them a month, you know, so many a semester and all that to like keep up and graduate.
Sounds like Bible school to me.
You could work at your own pace. So you could, you know, if you wanted to spend an entire day just doing social studies, you could like burn through a bunch of that in one day and then the next day do something, you know. Mm-hmm. They tried to get you to, every morning you had to set a goal for like what you were going to do that day.
Right.
And they wanted you to, you know, do some in every subject every day. And so that you would have this, you know, you'd go through the reading and then they'd have a quiz and, and at the end you had to turn in your little book and then they would give you the final test for that section.
Okay. So you are learning stuff.
Yeah.
You know how to read and write.
Yeah.
Your math's decent.
Yeah. Right. So, but like I said, science, not so much.
Right.
Well, so I liked science, but, you know.
That was a barrier in getting into college?
No, it wasn't a barrier other than, you know, until I went to college, I had never sat in a lecture. I had never changed classes.
Wow.
I had, you know, we were in, like, the whole high school was in one room.
Right.
You know.
And you graduated valedictorian.
I was valedictorian, right? Yes.
Of 10 people?
Of 10 people.
Yeah. Very nice. Top 10 of your class.
Yeah, everybody was top 10.
Yeah.
And I was not in the top 10%. I was the top 10%.
Did you give a graduation speech?
I did. Yeah.
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 Oh, do you have that written down somewhere?
Oh,
God, I would love to see that.
I don't know if I still have it or not.
Videotapes of you.
I don't know if that. I don't. No, I don't have a video.
Little disco.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to see
that. No.
But you know the one thing about that school, you know, for all its other crappiness, was that I was valedictorian, which did get me scholarship money.
That's fantastic.
Because, you know, they just, like, being valedictorian gets you the scholarship. It doesn't matter how big the school was.
Right.
So, yay me.
So did you have to take out any student loans?
Not the first couple years of school, I didn't.
No.
Because I had the valedictorian scholarship and a couple other scholarships. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was young and dumb and...
And didn't know how to change classes.
And drank my way out of school because, hey...
Well, sitting in a lecture alone will make you want to drink.
Yeah.
And not having experience.
Yeah, and I had,
before.
Yeah. Yeah. So... You know, and I didn't go to public. There were no big high school parties for me or all that. So, you know, I was having a ball.
Social time.
Yeah.
So you met girls.
I met girls, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I hadn't met girls before, but, you know.
Right. There was a variety.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they weren't all, like, Amish or from Amish families.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My high school wasn't Amish.
No.
But, you know.
But it was Christian.
Right. And when you have a class of 10, there's not a lot of choices.
Right. So, in college, drinking a lot and stuff.
Yeah, so the first couple years I was, you know, I did not do as well.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, catching up.
Right.
So, but during that time I did meet my ex.
Mm-hmm.
We worked at the dish room together. At the college. Yeah. She was in her sorority. Yeah. The dish room is kind of a bonding experience, you know.
Yeah. Like, sloughing off food and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we started going out and...
So you got married before you finished college.
Right, yeah.
Or left college.
So I had left school. I was, you know, I had always planned to go back. Like, you know, it wasn't like I quit completely.
But why'd
older.
You stop attending school?
I lost some scholarships because I wasn't doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started working and that and just, you know... And then got married, and it was just like...
you have an adult life to support suddenly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Big city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was working in the Hudson's department store, but I was working in their deli as a, like, shift manager.
Okay.
And my boss... there was a whole new thing for them at the time, and so my boss had opened the deli there, and then they were sending her to Ann Arbor to open the deli there.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to bring people with her so she didn't have to hire a whole fresh staff and train everybody. She wanted people. And she specifically wanted me to go along.
Smart.
And so we decided, you know, I'm not doing anything else. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, like.
That was the moment you left school or had you already left?
I hadn't been taking classes for a bit at that point, but we'd only been married like a year.
Yeah.
And then moved to Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
And. You know, started working at the store there, and then I transferred to Eastern Michigan University and went through school there.
Transferred to school.
Right, transferred, right. Transferred, you know, applied and transferred all my credits and that to Eastern.
Right.
And switched to the art department. So I was a graphic design major because Eastern didn't have a real photo program.
Mm-hmm.
And I had discovered graphic design and thought that was really cool, and, you know, so I was doing that, and... Got, I think it was 18 credits from graduating at Eastern.
From graduating?
Yeah, I had gone there, you know, like not full time, but close to full time, as close as I could for a couple of years. And then that's when my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
He was due in like July, I think, or June. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. After school. But he was born 8 weeks early.
Wow.
In an emergency procedure.
Right.
And so, like, my school life just stopped dead right in the, you know, near the end of the semester because, like, you know.
You've got to be home.
Right. Well, and not only that, but he was not born near. He was born on the other side of the state in Grand Rapids where we weren't living anymore. And so we had to be over there. And
your wife was just visiting family or?
She was visiting, going to a wedding with friends. And I was at a conference in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And so they needed to keep your son in the hospital for a while,
right? Yeah, he was in the hospital for... Well, they told us he was going to be in... You know, general rule of thumb is that, you know, when you're born premature like that, that you're going to be in the hospital until your due date.
Right. So they anticipated
8 weeks. They anticipated 8 weeks. And
in a place that you don't live.
Right. And they sent him home at 4.
All right. So they sent your
son
home.
So they sent him home at 4 weeks, but...
So you were living
but 2 weeks
in
you were living over by Ann Arbor.
Did So your wife is out of the hospital.
Right.
And you have like a, you're living with friends or did you have to rent a place?
We had a friend who was managing a motel in Grand Rapids. And she just gave us a room.
That's fantastic.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We were there for 2 weeks. Because at 2 weeks, they put a thing together. They said he was, you know, good enough to move. And so they got the special neonatal intensive care ambulance.
Wow.
And put him in that and took him over to Ann Arbor. So he spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor at U of M Hospital.
So is he in an incubator this whole time?
Yeah.
That must have been frightening to see.
It's this. Called an isolette. I still remember that.
Isolette.
Yeah.
That do you have nightmares about that still? I mean,
no, not really.
That wasn't a traumatic event?
Well, the you know, people, like friends and family would say, like, oh, like you've handled this so well, and how do you do that, you know, and all mm-hmm. that. And for us, it was like, we hadn't ever had a kid before.
Right.
And so this was just kind of the way it was. It wasn't, you know.
Right.
It was like the first, you know, the day of the birth, mm-hmm. you know, like I was out of town and she was out of town, you know, and so I had to drive back from Chicago to Grand Rapids. Right. And I got there and they said that they were going to do this emergency C-section and that, you know, they checked and, you know, my wife would be fine, but that this early, you know, and it's kind of funny because, not, you know, 20 years later, 8 weeks isn't all that bad. You know, like 8 weeks is within the threshold of like, yeah, this is no problem.
Right. They know what to do.
Right. But at the time it was like, they said that he had a 50-50 shot at surviving the birth, mm-hmm. just like flat out.
Just getting him
like,
out of there.
Just getting him out. He was a 50-50 shot. And then there was a 75% chance that he would have long lasting effects from mm-hmm. being born that early.
Possible like autism?
Yeah,
like that.
Well, you know, like respiratory problems yeah. because his lungs weren't fully developed at that point and right. all this stuff. And, you know, like that there would just be issues from mm-hmm. being born that early and, you know, health problems and that we should be prepared for. And
right. But he is a beautiful kid. Well, yeah. not kid anymore. He's 20.
No, he's 21.
Yeah. Good looking kid.
Yeah.
Got all his parts.
Yep. And, yep. you know.
And smart.
And absolutely no... like zero residual issues issue. From being Nothing. Born premature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really lucky. I mean, we...
Good story.
Yeah.
So the next two kids, you have two more kids, two yes. daughters.
Two daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the... How soon did you have your middle daughter?
About the time that the oldest was getting to be 2 years old, mm-hmm. My wife decided that, you know, like... We didn't want to have an only child.
Right.
Because we'd both known only children when we were kids, and they mm-hmm. were creepy.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree.
Not all of them. We're really generalizing there. But right. But it just so happened that the couple that we knew, mm-hmm. like, were, you know. So we didn't want that. And plus, you know, she didn't want to have a kid who didn't have anybody to talk to or didn't, you know.
Yeah, it seems lonely.
Yeah. So since we decided, you know, that we would have a second child. And that was our plan at that point, was to have another one, and that was it.
Right. So the third daughter was a surprise.
Total surprise. Yeah.
Do you remember, was your wife on antibiotics at the time?
No.
Were you conceived?
No.
No. Just an accident.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yep.
Just, but
yeah.
Your daughters are fantastic.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have never thought of you as a dad. I still haven't met your kids.
Yeah.
But you are the least dad-like dad I've ever met.
Yeah.
You're very, very cool.
I've never, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's cool dads out there.
Yeah.
But
I've had to do dad things, and I've had to, you know, like.
Yeah. I just don't see you, like, clean and messy diapers.
Oh, I did.
I'm sure you've done your part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah.
But you do have the dad sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very corny and punny.
Yeah.
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 I think it's made you a good person. What?
Well, probably, yeah. It's probably been good for me. Mm-hmm. I never planned on having kids. I didn't want to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, because the first one was a total surprise, too. It wasn't like, mm-hmm. we were like, oh, let's have a child. You know, it was mm-hmm. like
but
total,
you're,
totally
you're,
surprised because we hadn't really planned on doing, you know, having kids. And
but you're good with kids, right? I mean, you've always been good with kids. You, I mean, doing your family volunteer work,
yeah.
you were working with families and children. You were never intimidated by children, right?
No, I just didn't really ever want to, you know, I mean, I didn't grow up wanting to be a, you know, like, babysit as a teenager or be a teacher, you know, like any, I didn't, you know.
Right.
A lot of, you know, I like my kids.
Yeah.
A lot of other people's kids bug me.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. They don't act right.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Although, like, but I had a good example with my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because with my dad, if you were in his house, you behaved the way he said you should, you know.
Right.
So he was not afraid. You know, there were lots of times when I was a kid and, you know, we'd have, you know.
Like, your buddies come over?
Yeah, friends over, my cousins, you know, and all that. And they'd be sitting at the table, you know, like my parents would be sitting at the table with their brothers and sisters or whatever. And kids, you know, the kids would run through the kitchen or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my aunts and uncles wouldn't say anything. My dad would stop, would, mm-hmm. you know, he was not afraid to stop you and say, you know, behave here, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even if the parents weren't going to do anything, he was going to do something, so.
Right. Did he ever clothesline any kids?
No, that was my grandfather.
Oh. He had the stick.
He had a cane named Pete.
And what type of cane was it?
It was just a regular wooden cane with, like, the traditional with the hook at the top and all that. And,
nice.
You know, he'd be outside playing, and he'd be sitting in his little swing, and if you ran by too close, Pete would get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your grandpa liked to trip little boys and girls.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So when did you go back to college? Because you didn't get your degree in
right. Yeah.
Your
so
first
that
son
was
born.
A,
that kind of was kind of
yeah.
A distraction.
That kind of knocked me out of school, and so we, you know, we spent, you know, a month, both of us, not working. I mean, we spent all our time at the hospital, which is probably why he came home at 4 weeks instead of 8 weeks, because we'd be there all the time, and we'd see other babies in the neonatal unit, and nobody, you know, like.
So, you mean the hospital just got sick of the two of you and wanted to get
probably,
you out of there?
Probably, yeah. So that knocked me out of school. And so, you know, neither of us had been working. We both just quit our jobs and didn't have great jobs anyway.
Right.
And so it was kind of a, well, one of us has got to go to work. Uh-huh. So we started sending out resumes kind of thing. And it was like, whoever goes to work first goes to work, you know.
Right.
And it just worked out that I had made, you know, some of the people that, you know, my friends from school in the graphic design program, one of them, you know, I was talking to them, like, I need to find a job. And one of them said, well, you know, one of the recent graduates is working at this place and they're looking for an intern.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pay a whole lot, but it could be, you know, it's an intern. It could be a permanent position. And I'm like, well, okay, you know, let me talk to him.
Yeah.
And so I went in and interviewed and I got the job as an intern. And I was an intern for...
Was this a graphic design job? Or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was for, that was United Technologies Automotive,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think exists anymore. They got bought and sold, you know.
Right.
But I went in, was the design intern in the communications department for a year. And then they hired me permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked there for a couple more years.
So you were making billboards, flyers, brochures? What were you doing?
Oh, all, well, that's the fun part of being in a, the internal communications department is we didn't get to do the big advertising.
Internal or, communications.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Internal. We were in the communications department, you know, the PR. Mm-hmm. We were with the PR writers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the company's internal newspaper. We did a lot of, we did get to do some promotional stuff, like for the company sponsored an exhibit at the Detroit Institute of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to put together materials for that.
Mm-hmm.
But like the big advertising billboards and stuff, we never got to do.
So how you
and there
got...
was a, lot of, well, it wasn't PowerPoint then. It was pre-PowerPoint. It was what was it called? Aldous Presentation, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's
so a lot of slides. Sucked ass.
And that moved you into computers, though.
Yeah.
And at that point,
right, yeah.
You had already been on bulletin boards by this time
right.
and messing around on the,
right.
on the interwebs, which there wasn't.
Right. And then, my friends, some of my friends that I'd made at Eastern were, in CS department and that. And so we were playing with computers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Jim and I installed, you know, the very first version of the Linux kernel that you could download. You know, we got that, and you know, and it was, you had to boot off of a 5 1/4 inch floppy and do some stuff, and then you could install off 3.5s, and it was just, you know, this ordeal. And then once you got it all installed, there was really nothing you could do, but it was cool, you know. So I was playing around with that stuff, and one of those guys had graduated and gotten a job working for U of M's internet provider, and so they had a position. And he called me and said, "You should come here."
But by that time, you had found a old computer at your job and set up a web server.
I built the first website for United Technologies Automotive that lived on a computer that was under my desk.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't give me a budget or any help really in putting up this website thing. They said, "Well, okay, if you think we should, you know, you can do it."
But it was an external facing site.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the actual website for a little bit, and then, you know, and then the parent company and all that, you know, saw that, and they had been thinking about it, and they said, "Oh, okay, this is going to be a thing. We need to do something." So they took it away from me.
You launched their thing. Yeah. You launched their whole online identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you went to U of M not to go back to school, but to work.
But to work. Yeah. So I was working for U of M. For it was actually working for the company was called CICNet. But it was part of U of M. I actually got a U of M paycheck, and you know.
And so, did you start attending U of M after that time?
No.
When did you go back to school?
I went back to school in 2009.
So much later.
Much later, yeah.
Yeah. So you were working, and eventually became a Unix guru.
Right. Yeah. So. Part of the idea was that I was going to go to CICNet because they wanted somebody to design websites for their customers, you know, because this was the new thing, you know. It was like 95, and it was later than, it was 96 maybe, somewhere in there, but they, you know, they were talking about websites. And then, you know, I started there, and I did some internal marketing stuff and design stuff, but then they decided that that really wasn't going to be there. You know, they didn't want to do that. There wasn't going to be anything. And the position that they hired me for didn't actually exist, and they didn't want to create it. So they just hired me as, technically, my position was systems administrator.
Right.
And so they came to me and said, "Well, you know, your job says you're a systems administrator. We need a systems administrator. So that's what you're going to do."
Oh, okay.
So that's what I did. But fortunately, I'd been playing around on the, you know, like I already knew some of that stuff.
Had
anyway,
no qualifications so officially, but they needed somebody.
And they knew that I knew how to do, I knew how to do the stuff, and, you know.
And eventually, and that got you out to California.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's fast forward. Your company went through all the things.
Well, CICNet, you know, as the internet started growing and that, and this was a small internet backbone. You know, regional, and U of M decided that, you know, well, and the CIC, which is like the Big Ten universities, decided they didn't want to be in that business anymore. So they sold it off to a company in Cleveland. And so some of the people I worked with actually moved to Cleveland, and some of us didn't. But there was, at the time, there were the two biggest internet backbone companies were UUNET and ANS. Like as independent companies, you know, the telcos were starting to get into this. But those were the two biggest, like, dedicated internet backbones. And so, and ANS was based in Ann Arbor, so a bunch of us went to work there.
Yeah.
So I worked for ANS. And then that was the company that I worked. I had worked for 11 different companies without changing jobs through reorganizations and mergers and all of that stuff. Yeah. And so started at ANS and ended up at Verizon.
Okay. So somewhere in there was 2009 and you went
back to school. I went back to school.
And what pushed you to go back to school?
By then it was Verizon. And there was an educational benefit. Maybe it was MCI when I started going back.
Wow.
But there was an educational benefit, you know, and all that.
They would pay for a couple classes a semester.
Pay for some school, yeah. And I was, you know, not happy, you know, cause the longer it went on and the more mergers and reorgs and all that, the just like the worse the environment got.
Right.
So I'm like, well, you know, I want to, you know, I don't have a degree and, you know, I'm going to have to change jobs at some point. And everything, you know, says, you know, must have a degree.
Right.
And, you know, when I started, every job said, you know, said it required a degree.
Or equivalent experience.
Because, you know, the people who knew, you know, at that point, they just needed somebody who knew how to do it. And, you know, and the chances of you having a degree and knowing how to do this were not as good.
Right.
So if you know how to do it, it didn't really matter if you had a degree or not.
You know? But you started seeing people requiring.
But now it was starting to get a little more, you know. And serious. Plus, I always felt bad that, like, I'd never finished. I'd never had a chance to, you know.
Right. But so, you didn't go back for a computer degree.
No, I went back to where I started. I went back to Grand Valley and went back to the same program that I had left there.
And you actually had to move back to town to do that, right?
Well, I had already moved back over there.
Okay. So Verizon was letting you work remotely?
Yeah.
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 All right.
And so I went back to school and had the same advisor I had, you know, 20 years before.
That's great.
You know, but it was fun because now I was, you know, like the same age as the professors mm-hmm. and not the punk students who were right. driving me crazy.
Now you really wanted it. You knew the value of a degree after being out there for so long. And
it makes
a huge difference in how you behave and how you study.
Well, plus, you know, for a good chunk of that, you know, like I had gone, you know, we had the kid and I had to go to work and all that. And so, you know, I basically, you know, for several years, I just kind of packed up my cameras and put them away.
You hadn't been creative for a while.
And hadn't done anything with them because I didn't want to, you know, I had to work. I had to, you know, and I was enjoying what I was doing in that, but I didn't want to distract from that. I didn't want, you know.
Were you playing music at the time?
No.
Because that's something that we haven't touched on, your whole music background. And I do want to get to that, but why don't we finish up this train of thought?
Okay.
Getting your degree.
Right.
And having to deal with the youngins in your class. Yeah.
We moved back across to the west side of Michigan, mm-hmm. you know, where Grand Valley is. And I was at a big
Was your wife supportive
barbecue.
In this move?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was supporting you getting your degree. You were still working full time.
Yeah, I was still working full time.
It wasn't hurting your income.
No, not at all.
Yeah, okay. Because you had three kids to support.
Yeah, but we was back on the west side of the state and was at a big barbecue, mm-hmm. and one of my friends had a camera that I had always wanted. My entire life, I wanted this camera, mm-hmm. and she had one. You know, and when I was younger, this was like a $10,000 camera. I mean, it was like, and that's without lenses and stuff. I mean, just, and so like she was like, let me use it for a bit. And we were talking about it and how, you know, digital cameras had made this camera really affordable now because nobody wanted, you know, mm-hmm. so you could get these used ones for a couple hundred bucks. And, you know, and that just kind of did it for me. Like, I've got to do this, you know. And then I decided, I need a degree. Let's go finish the one I started and, mm-hmm. you know. So that's how that happened.
And how long did it take you to get your degree at that point?
Like another 4 years. But it was taking a couple classes at a time, you know.
Right.
So it was
working full time.
Working full time and taking a couple classes, and yeah.
But on campus classes, there weren't online at that point.
Right. Yeah, it was all on campus.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about having to attend classes now after all this
time.
Yeah,
and the school was a 40-minute drive from where we lived.
Wow. So you get your degree, and then mm-hmm. you move to California?
Yes.
So you moved out here before your family came out.
Right.
Were they trying to sell a house?
Something? We had a house in Michigan, and that. And so
and this
I moved
is 2013?
Out in
2013?
2012.
2012.
End well, 2012. Right at the end. I moved out in December of 2012.
Mm-hmm. And moved to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
You were living with friends for a while in
yeah,
San Jose?
I lived in San Jose with friends for a while and then found the house in where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Rented it.
So that got you here, and now you're working in the city now.
Yeah, now I go all the way up to San Francisco.
Yeah. Wow.
Which, I love San Francisco. It's a great city. That was one of the things that did it for me was I came out to interview with Twitter thinking, you know, well, I'm doing this for the experience of coming out here. I'm not really interested
right.
and
but
all
people
that.
Have been
and
telling you for years you need to be out here.
Yeah, they, yeah. It's, well, Alex especially was like, you know, you need to come out here, you need to come out here, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when
the weather's nice.
Yeah, and then when I started talking to friends in Michigan, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go out and interview in California, mm-hmm. you know, for this. And my friends are like, oh, you should, yeah, you're going to love it out there. You're going to, it's so much better for you out there. You're going to feel so much better out there than you do here. And I'm like, why are you telling me now? Right. Like, I've lived here for a long, you know.
Why didn't you tell me that when you first came up with that idea? Yeah. Where did this come from?
You know, but I came out thinking this will be fun. I'll get a nice little weekend out of it, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't want to live in California. And we came out and got in, you know, pretty late on a Thursday night, I
just
think.
Just you and your wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And went in, you know, into the city and checked into the hotel. And we were, like, right on Market Street and walked out and started wandering around the city in the middle of the night. And it's like, I love this place. It was immediate, like, you know, love at first sight.
Great.
Yeah.
But didn't move into the city?
No.
No.
Because we had kids and the schools in the city are not.
Yeah.
You know, the schools in the South Bay are better than the schools mm-hmm. in the city, unfortunately. So,
yeah. Well, good for me, though.
So, yeah.
Because I probably wouldn't have met up with you if you were living in the city.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, probably not.
Wait, we should say at this point that you did finally divorce your wife.
Yes.
After moving out here.
Yeah.
I didn't steal you away.
No, it was, yeah. So, and, you know, and she immediately, you know, when we made the decision, she moved back to Michigan because she had never really wanted to be out here.
But, so yeah. Your wife and the youngest went back to Michigan.
Yeah.
And you're left here all alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, me and my doggie.
Yeah. And we haven't even talked about Nico.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Nico. We need to talk about guitars and mandolins. And we're over an hour in.
Yeah.
So I think we need to call it here. Maybe we need to...
we'll make this a two-parter?
Yeah. Yeah. We
okay.
need a second episode of Disco.
Okay.
Maybe we can edit them together or just leave it on a cliffhanger here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And, you know, you kick ass.
You're awesome.
Don't forget to kick ass.
Okay.
Should have stopped in that Dawson bar and cocktail lounge. The popular refreshment center for everyone. Relax.